Hi there, homeschoolers. This is Holly. I just wanted to pop in here at the beginning to say that there were some technical difficulties during the recording of this episode, which resulted in the audio quality not being what we usually like to present to you. That being said, there's still a lot of really great information inside this episode, and so we hope you will give it a listen and enjoy yourself. Happy homeschooling! Welcome to the Beyond Transcripts podcast. I'm your host, Holly.
I'm your co-host, Melody.
Today, we're going to talk about working and homeschooling. But first, Melody, what have you been up to since I saw you last?
I have been knocking out halfway finished projects and going through some papers and then doing some lesson planning for the fall. I'm going to be teaching a class in general science and one in math for middle schoolers. So I'm getting a head start on all those plans that I want. I just want everything planned out before we start.
Oh, yeah, that's really smart. Wait until the last minute is a prescription for a disaster.
Not good for me. What have you been doing?
Well, I have been doing a little bit of decorating. I bought some new curtains for my office. I'm trying to get my office looking like a grown-up actually works in it. I'm just trying to freshen things up, and I'm moving things around, reusing things I already have, but making them look fresh by putting them in different parts of the house. So that's my method for decorating without spending any money.
Oh, me too. It looks different when it's somewhere else. Going through things, just refreshing everything.
Yeah, I mean, it feels good, and it's springtime, you know, so lots of cleaning and reorganizing and getting rid of things and finding homes for new things. Kind of doing what you were doing. I'm just behind. You were doing all that last time.
And I think we're just switching around. Yeah. But we've been outside more. The weather's been really pleasant.
Oh, yeah.
I love repotting some plants and, you know, weeding and just seeing what's growing, if anything new's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Looking for things that I thought would be blooming by now. I don't know if one little frost might have zapped some of my flowers, but
we have had some strange weather. it's been cold. We have loquat trees, and we were so excited they had blooms on them, and then we got a freak freeze and no loquats this year. So we're really disappointed. No, all the blooms fell off, and we saw a tree down the road that was just full of them, and I really keep thinking I need to go and ask that person if I could just get some of their loquats, because we didn't get any on our trees this year. Just enjoying the springtime. I've been planting a garden, and so I've been out there getting all my exercise and planting the garden.
Right. Making good use of your extra time at home. It's been interesting having some of those options removed. Some places aren't open. It's like, okay, well then, what can I do with what I have here at home?
Yeah, exactly. I do feel like I've been giving my creativity a little bit more of a workout. Well, so we're going to be talking today about homeschooling and working at the same time. And with all the school closure parents are finding this as a big stressor. Also having to do the things that the public school tells them to do. Very stressful. So I've seen a lot of those people saying, you know, I think I might really homeschool in earnest this fall. And we've talked about this topic in the past, but I think taking a fresh look at it and having you weigh in on it, how it's worked for you, I think it'll be really helpful for people who are in the position of thinking that this fall they're going to be working and homeschooling. So when was the first time you started working and homeschooling at the same time? Can you remember, like, when that first happened?
Well, there were a lot of times when, depending on what kind of work, I often provided childcare for people while we were homeschooling, which made homeschooling quite different because I was on someone else's schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the freedoms of homeschooling is doing your own schedule in the way that works best for you. So that was when my children were quite small. We had extra kiddos in the house, which was fine. I just schooled them too. That was a bonus for the parent I was helping out.
Oh, sure, sure.
But then probably within the last 10 years, when my children were upper elementary. I started doing some extra things from home. And it was a little bit of a challenge to mesh that into our routine or to figure out at what point in the day the children were occupied so that I could be on the phone or send emails or write messages. But I think you've been working and homeschooling almost the entire...
Yeah, I started... Well, we started homeschooling in 1993, and I didn't really do any kind of paid work at that point. But a couple years later, I was cleaning a house for a little old man. I cleaned for this little disabled man once every 2 weeks. And then I had after-school care kids, and I sold Tupperware, and I also worked part-time at a barbecue.
You were very busy.
I was very busy.
Did you do all that at the same time?
Well, kind of. So I went to the worked at the barbecue in the middle of the day. So from 11 until 1. It was just a short shift. And then I came home and I picked up my after school kids. And then when we got home, my husband went to work. And then Tupperware I just fit it in wherever I could. And then every other week I cleaned house for this little old man. He was a sweet little gentleman. And my kids were really young then. We only had two that were in school. And so it was manageable because they were in lower elementary grades. And then I didn't do anything for a while. When I went back into working, I worked mornings for someone. And I would leave some schoolwork all ready for the kids to do, and my husband was supposed to supervise it. That did not work out very well. Because my husband has OCD, and when I put on the papers, like, do the odd number problems, his mind couldn't handle that. And he would try to make the children do the full paper, and they were upset about it. So I just worked in the morning, then when I came home, we did school. And then later on, when some of my kids were in high school, I worked mornings, and then when we came home, I did school with them. I've kind of piecemealed it here and there, and I've worked from home, and I've worked outside of the home. All throughout most of the time I've homeschooled. And it is stressful. I'm sure you felt it was stressful having...
Things weren't getting done at home that I would have been doing if I'd been home and not working extra jobs here and there. Mm-hmm. But I had forgotten I did some cleaning for a lady too. And so that time, that was a temporary thing. My husband was injured and he was off work for a while. Mm-hmm. And so he was home. Of course, he was injured and not able to really
right.
do everything. He was
right.
there, but the children were older and he did do some things. But most of the things fell in my lap to take care of him when I got home. So it was just an extra load to all the things I was already doing.
Yes. We had a period of time where my husband had a head injury and he was not able to drive or work. And so at that time, I worked evenings. I would go to work and work from 5 until 9. And my oldest child was in public school, but the other kids were homeschooled. So when she got home from school, then she was in high school. So I felt like, okay, I could leave, and there was somebody who could help if something happened to Dad. Because like I said, he had a head injury, so he had some seizures from time to time. And so I felt, okay, well, now I can leave, and there's somebody else who can kind of keep an eye on things. But whenever you have to work and you're homeschooling, some things are just going to have to fall by the wayside.
Right, but you get to decide which things those are.
Exactly. And I think that's the biggest stress when people think about working and homeschooling is how do you get it all done? And you can't get it all done. You just have to decide how to manage to get done the things that are the most important. Yeah. So, elaborate home-cooked meals, probably not going to be an option if you're trying to work and homeschool.
No, you learn how to streamline and set those priorities, and then you streamline the things that are the most important, or the routine things, like, which was part of the children were involved in maintaining the house, and for a good chunk of time, we would keep one job, because if you do one thing over and over, you learn ways, shortcuts, and ways to get it done more quickly, more easily, more efficiently. So they would keep that job, and then after a while we'd switch. But there was one year when they said, can we just keep the same job all year? Because they knew how to get in there and get it done, and that was one less thing for me to do. which helped tremendously. And then we all felt like we were all working together to get things done.
Yeah, and I think it's, I think a lot of people, I let me back that up. I have heard a lot of people say that they don't think kids should have to do work, that kids should have, you know, have a fun childhood. But as a person who had to do chores and work when I was a kid, when I became an adult, I really appreciated having those skills. Also, when you are working, whether you're working from home or outside of the home, it's really important that everybody participates in helping to keep the house running. Otherwise, the person who's working, if it's mom or dad, whoever's doing the bulk of the homeschooling and working, is going to burn out really fast. So getting a good routine, like you said, and having good training so each person knows what they have to do and they have the tools and the skills to do it, makes everything so much smoother. Then when you're ready to start school, you're not sitting in a pile of mess and unfinished things surrounding you where you can't concentrate. And I just think that's really, it builds a lot of sense of accomplishment in kids to have a significant contribution to the family.
It does. And then when the work is done, the playtime is free without anything hanging over their head left unfinished. They can go and play. And with everybody working together, they had more free time than if all the work falls on one person. I mean, we all could go outside and play together because we had all finished.
Right.
So I think it also prepared them with skills for adulthood.
Oh, definitely. My husband's family, his mom did not require them to do any chores. And when they grew up, they didn't really know what to do or when. My sister-in-law one time said, well, I didn't know what day of the week to do certain things. I didn't know when they had to be done. And it was really difficult. And I remember thinking, thanks, Mom. Thanks for making me do all those things I hated to do. But it really is essential when you're homeschooling, even if you don't work outside of the home, or if you don't have a job, you work from home. If you are able to be a full-time homeschooling parent, you still need the kids to pitch in and help out. I mean, you just can't do it all, and it's really good to have your kids on board and learning as they go.
It's true. It also teaches them time management.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Time management is so essential, and so many people don't seem to have the understanding that one time is not as good as another, and that you need to get this thing done before you can proceed to the next thing, so that if one cog in that wheel breaks off, now you can't go anywhere. Oh, goodness. That's a lesson that takes a lifetime to learn sometimes.
Well, sometimes I don't know if you actually see the fruit of that lesson until they're on their own, and then they realize all those things that they, you know, didn't like having to do when they were kids at home. Now they realize they can do it without thinking. It doesn't take a lot of effort if you've already got good routines.
Right.
Wearing yourself out trying to figure out how to get all these things done. You just do them.
Right.
And like the other day, I had to stop and think, I can't remember what the task was, but I had to go and see if I'd already done it. And I had almost done it without thinking, just because it was
becomes
a habit.
And that goes back to when you were saying a routine, so that if you have a good routine with your balancing your work and your homeschooling, you don't spend a lot of valuable time trying to think about what to do next. One of the things that I have found really helpful is block scheduling. So during block scheduling, there's a chunk of time, and during that time, you only do certain things. So when I get up in the morning, I have about an hour where I check email. I see if there's anything that's really pressing I have to handle, because I work as a virtual assistant and I'm a freelance writer. So I check in on my email, see if anybody's got anything really critical. I handle those things, and then I do household tasks. Take out the dog, feed the animals, get breakfast going, those things. When those things are done, usually about 1 o'clock, we've had lunch, we're ready to do school. We do school from 1 to 3 or from 2 to 4. It just depends. My son's in first grade, so his schoolwork doesn't take a real long time. And then we're done with that, and he gets to have his leisure time, and I go back into my office. I work for a couple hours. We go on to having dinner, and we go outside, work in the garden, play games, read books. he goes to bed, and once he's asleep, I come back to the office, and I have a little bit more time to do some projects or things I hadn't gotten done. So my work is spread out in little chunks throughout the day. And I've tried to do it in different orders, but it works best for me because he's young. He's only 7, so he needs concentrated mom time in chunks. I can't just like say, okay, go, and for 5 hours you've got to occupy yourself. He might occupy himself, or he might have things that he does that total would take up 5 hours of the day, but I can't just shove him off for 5 hours. Right. Whereas if he were a high school student, it might work really well for me to let him sleep in, because, you know, those teenagers need their rest, and I could get a big chunk of work done before he gets up. So obviously your schedule is going to change as your children get older, as your work responsibilities are different. But whether you work from home, full-time, part-time, outside the home, full-time or part-time, you can mesh homeschooling and working. I had a friend who worked full-time outside the home, and she homeschooled her 13-year-old son. And he was at home during the day while she was at work. He could call her if he needed anything. But he woke up late, and then he worked on his work independently. And when she got home, they went over anything he couldn't do. And then sometimes on Saturday, they would take a chunk of time to do science experiments or other things. And she homeschooled him all the way through high school while working full-time.
Did they start when he was in high school?
They started, I think, when he was an 8th grader. So I think he was 13. Yeah, he had a bad middle school experience. So she decided that for him it would be good to take him out of school. But she couldn't quit her full-time job. Her family needed her income. So she found a way to make it work. And I think that's the thing I really hope people will take away from this episode, is that there is a way to do it. And though, even though every state has its own requirements of how you homeschool, you can still figure it out.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes I think you just have to be creative about which chunks of the day are going to be work chunks and which are going to be school chunks, mm-hmm. and household blocks of time.
Mm-hmm.
And you may not be working an 8-to-5 schedule. It may be, like you said, you know, 8-to-9 or 1-to-3 or 7-to, you know, midnight or whatever. But
right.
People figure out a way to make it work.
Yeah. And there's definitely certain things that are more or less beneficial when you're doing a schedule or planning how to incorporate working and homeschooling. And we're going to talk more about some of those specifics before our episode is done. But one of the things that I was also thinking about in regards to working and homeschooling is how we get into that situation. So sometimes, like you said, you unexpectedly had to start working. And what did that do for you? Like, help me through the thought process of I'm having my life as a full-time mom, and kaboom.
Right. Suddenly all of I had to take a really strong look at the routine and time management, because we had to figure out suddenly what things can Dad help with, what things can Mom do, what things can the kids do on their own. My kids were already doing a lot of things on their own because they were a little bit older, but I still had elementary age kids. And so I think I just had to shift some priorities around. The children took on more of the household responsibilities, which was fine. But they all knew we were all pulling together, because here was Dad injured. He broke both wrists. And
oh,
so
my
he couldn't
goodness.
Do
yeah.
anything. He couldn't
yeah.
do anything.
Oh, my gosh.
There was a time, you know, for a little while when they were casting him. For some reason, he had, you know, like right angle casts on his elbows. He couldn't feed himself. And it was really a challenging time. And so, obviously, they knew we needed to all pull together to keep the family afloat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that was their contribution, because that freed up time for me to go out. And I was cleaning that lady's house at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started doing some health and wellness business at that time. So there were some teaching some classes. And so I was away from the house much more than usual. My kiddos were used to me being there all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then my children went to work. The older ones got jobs probably earlier than they would have, because I did prefer them to Well, it worked better for us if they didn't have a job while they were schooling, because once they started working, this it was hard to fit all of the schooling in.
Oh, sure.
So we tried not to if we could avoid it, but it was unavoidable. So some of the older ones went to work part time, and that was a tremendous help. But I was still needing to drive them here and there, so mm-hmm. we kind of bumped up getting their license, maybe a little bit with one, but most of the time. Because they were working pretty close to home, I just run them down to the store, to the work,
mm-hmm.
to the job,
right.
to the job, and we just shifted things around to make it work. And that was a temporary situation, but even after that, I continued working, teaching some classes. That emergency depleted our emergency fund, so
sure.
we needed to build it back up.
Sure.
So we just changed some things, changed the way we did some things, but it's workable. You can figure out a way to make it work.
Right. Once you get over the initial shock
it was
to your system, which is what a lot of the school closure parents have experienced since March when schools started closing because of the coronavirus. All of a sudden, it was like, boom, okay, here's your kid, and they have a Zoom meeting, and you have to work, and how are you going to figure it out? And it was very stressful.
The unexpected.
And
you're doing two full-time things at
yes.
the same time, or trying to.
And that's the other thing that that I would like to have people really remember and to express this to people in their lives, is that when you decide to homeschool, you are taking on another job. And if you're homeschooling and you're working, you don't have time for your friends to call you in the middle of the day or to babysit their kids or all these kinds of things that people think of that you have time to do when they think you're home. When you're working from home and you're homeschooling, like for me, all the situation that has occurred since all the quarantines and the school closures hasn't really affected me and my family so much because I have been working from home and homeschooling for a number of years. So people who are online saying, I have all this extra time, I'm like, I do not.
Right.
But I know when I first started homeschooling years ago, people just had this idea like, oh, she's home, so I'll give her a call. Well, no, because I'm actually working. You know, you wouldn't call your friend who's a school teacher in the middle of the school day and see what they're up to or pop by for, you know, a quick chat. So you have to really guard your time and be more proactive for yourself. Well, I think we're going to take a short break to hear about our sponsor. And when we get back, we're going to talk about some specific things that you can do to help yourself when you are combining working and homeschooling. Our podcast is sponsored by Transcript Maker. It's an online service that allows you to create professional transcripts from your home. So an interesting thing happened recently. I was taking a phone call from someone who was trying to get their high school transcript from a public school that closed down, and they couldn't get their transcript. And you know what's really neat about Transcript Maker? They keep your transcript stored on their system. So once you make it and you save it, you can get it. Log in anytime, even if your subscription's not active, you can always log in and retrieve a transcript that you've created. Isn't that nice? And you can do your transcript in, they have two different formats. One's a modern and one's a traditional template. And then you can print it in either portrait or landscape, which is so nice. I just love that they understand that homeschoolers are different and different states have different requirements, and they give you a lot of adaptability for how you can create those transcripts. Transcript Maker, simply better transcripts. Alrighty, let's get back to our discussion of how to manage working and homeschooling. So earlier we just kind of talked about the fact that it is possible to work and homeschool, and that having a good routine is important. But there are some things that we can do that will really help us to achieve the success we're looking for. One of the first things that I think about all the time when I talk to parents who are interested in finding out if they can combine working and homeschooling is curriculum.
Absolutely.
Yes.
It makes a huge difference in what kind of curriculum you're going to choose if you know that you're going to be working at the same time that you're homeschooling.
Yes, that's not the time to go with something that requires a lot of detailed preparation for the teacher. That will just make you want to pull out your hair. Can you think of some curriculum that you would recommend for people who are combining working and homeschooling? Let's think about maybe for elementary.
For elementary, I would think something that is a pick up and go kind of curriculum, or something where you've already got your lessons planned out for you. There are some box curriculums that have already paced the work, and all you have to do is pick it up and do the next lesson. Not something where you're doing all the background research and making the plan. Like I used a unit study where I was doing a lot of preparation work. When I had to start working at home, we changed and did more. We switched to some textbooks because they were already divided into sections. Do this much, work on this, answer these questions. Review was built in, so we just went with something that was pre-planned.
Yeah, I highly agree. I think that that's the time that you want to have something, like you said, that's prepared for the teacher that doesn't require a lot of intensive preparation. I use Charlotte Mason method of education, but I have, there's a website I use that has, they've already done all the work for you. They have things laid out by weeks, and they have the materials already recommended. So all I need to do when I'm getting ready for the school year is to gather my materials and organize them to know, you know, which day of the week I'm doing this history lesson, which day of the week I'm doing. Some things are weekly, some things are daily. And so I'm still able to use that style of education I want and fit it in with working and homeschooling.
I'm glad you said that, because a lot of people might think that that more leisurely Charlotte Mason style wouldn't work well with working from home.
Yeah, actually it works really well, because one of the hallmarks of Charlotte Mason education is short lessons. So we don't spend 2 hours on math. If we can't get math done in half an hour, we just stop at that point and we move on to our next topic. And that way we don't draw things out longer than necessary. So it's really important when, and whether you're doing elementary school, middle school, high school, to look at the types of curriculum that is available that has a lot of planning already done for the teacher. But realize that you can do any style of education. If you want to do living books, or you want to do classical, or you want to do a traditional textbook method, there are ways to do those, but just don't pick a curriculum that's going to ask you to do a bunch of wild, involved in science experiments or extremely detailed planning, because it's just not going to work and it's going to make you frustrated. It's also, I think, good to ask other parents that are work and homeschool parents, what are they using?
Right, because then you can draw from other people's experience and not have to reinvent the wheel.
Mm-hmm. I'm a big proponent of not banging my head against a wall when somebody's already paved the way. So I like to, that's where I do my research. I ask a lot of people, or I ask on homeschool forums, like Facebook groups, what are you using and how do you like it and what stinks about it?
Yes.
Because people who are using a curriculum will give you the honest truth, whereas if you go to the curriculum supplier's website, it's all daisies and roses.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah.
It's true. Right. And then sometimes what makes it not work for one person is not what would be a problem for you. So it really is helpful to know. I had a friend where if she didn't like a curriculum, I did. And the thing I didn't like, she loved. And so we could, it helped each other. We'd talk about it. And it's like, oh, you'd love this because I hate it.
But that is hilarious.
That's why I figured that out. It was really helpful.
Hello, Susie. What curriculum are you hating this year? Because that's the one
what
I need.
Should I take a look at?
Oh, that is so funny.
We like doing some of those hands-on things, and they didn't like that at all. So that was a really funny year. But it is a good idea. It's a good idea to ask your friends.
Oh yeah,
people in the field, so to speak, who are actually testing.
Yeah, they'll be honest. They're not getting paid to say nice things about the curriculum. Yeah, so curriculum choice is really important. The other thing is to get the tenor of your family. So I had a daughter who was very active in 4-H, and it was not negotiable. That was part of our lives, and we had to fit that in. So when I was sitting down when I had my, so my, you know, I have six kids, my five older kids are all, I had them all within 8 years. And then we had this little guy later. And so when I was homeschooling those five kids, they were involved in activities. And so we had to figure out a way, how was 4-H going to work with mom working outside of the home, with getting school done, with having meals on the table? So we, I sat down and I wrote the non-negotiable things down on my calendar. The hours I had to work were set. The 4-H schedule was set. And then we filled in around there to where we could put these other activities. And I think that's a really good thing, is get your calendar out when you're getting ready to prepare to do this homeschooling and working combination. And write down the things that can't be changed. And then you'll be able to see very clearly where you can fit in your homeschooling, where you can fit in your house cleaning tasks, where you can fit in just being a family and having family fun things. Because it can't be all school and working. That will make you very, very unhappy very quickly.
That wears you out. You need some mental refreshment. Mm-hmm. So when you had those seasons with 4-H, did all of those older children, was everybody doing something, or did you just typically have one person with a lot of outside things and maybe take turns, or did it just depend?
Yeah, so the two oldest girls were into 4-H, and they're 4 years apart. So by the time my middle daughter, Hannah, was in high school, her sister had already gone out of it. And in high schools, when they have a lot more, Hannah was into leadership, and she traveled to contests around the state. She even traveled for national 4-H things. So, but it was a big part of her high school, and she earned a $10,000 scholarship through her 4-H activities. So it was a very important part of her education. I counted it in as homeschooling.
Well, I was about to ask, because it definitely fits in. It's educational.
Yeah, and she also had a part-time job in high school, so we had to get her to her job. And then she graduated, and the youngest two were still at home. And then it was their time to have more activities. And that's the other thing that I would say, is when your kids are very young, and we know socialization is important, the first thing anybody says when you say, I'm going to homeschool, what about socialization? Oh my gosh, it drives me crazy. But socialization is important. So you want to get your kids out and about and involved in the community, involved with other people. But I would not recommend signing up little kids for tons of outside lessons, because that's just, first of all, they get tired of it, and then you're making them go, and they're whining and crying, and it's a stress on you. But when the kids get into those middle school years up and into high school, then you've got to make time for them to have those activities. And so you've got to get them on the calendar. My middle son was into Kung Fu, and he did a lot of Kung Fu. He worked at the Kung Fu studio. He took Kung Fu. He was there 3 days a week. My youngest daughter was into film and sound things. She interned at the community college, and she took dual enrollment classes at the community college, so we had to get her there. And all throughout this time, I was working.
When you wait until they're in high school or older, at that point, the things they choose to do are in line with their goals. They know what they want. They know what their interests are. So
right.
It makes so much more sense, and it's part of their education.
Yes, and you have to really look at it that way. If you look at it as, oh, this is just extra, then you kind of don't give it the importance it requires. And it's very important. So, again, every year is going to look different. And 1 year, you know, getting all your work done in the morning while your kids are sleeping in might work great. And then the next year, oh, all of a sudden, things are different. And so you have to also constantly reevaluate. You might be reevaluating month to month. It just depends on what kind of a workload you have. Or if your kid has something like, we have a friend whose kids are into theater. So when they're having in the middle of a play and they're rehearsing and going up to the point where the play will be, you know, where people can go see it, when they're performing it, you know, that they're going to have to change their schedule. Whereas maybe another place comes along, they're not in it. Well, then all of a sudden they probably have more time for their schoolwork. So it's a constant balancing act. You can't ever think, oh, I set up my schedule and we're good to go for the next, you know, year. It's probably not going to happen that way. The other thing is, when you're working and homeschooling, like we were talking about, just finding time to be a family, finding time to be your kid's parent. How did you weave all that together when you were working and homeschooling and caring for a husband who couldn't really care for himself?
We did a few things, but one thing we did was reserve the weekends for family activities and family time. We did not do school on the weekends. We just needed that for recharge time. And then the other thing that we did was we kind of worked on getting all the household tasks and all the school tasks done by early afternoon so that we had free time. And usually supper time and after that was kind of family together time, I guess you could say. We spent a lot of time outdoors in the afternoons, and then in the evenings we'd come in and everybody just would be working on projects that we were all together. So we made a point of staying connected. At that point we had older children already out of the house starting their own families.
Mm-hmm.
But we would see each other pretty often. And then they were helping with all of the things that were going on for that during that emergency. And so we saw a lot of each other. But we would help them by watching their kiddos. They would help me by coming over and just helping facilitate whatever I needed to get done. It just changed from month to month. It depended on what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And as Dad got better and went back to work, things slowly kind of returned to normal, but we had added in some extra things that we kept because they were like, my daughter continued to work part-time,
mm-hmm.
and I continued to work part-time also. We called upon the older children more frequently because we needed to get somebody to work or somebody to a meeting.
Sure, sure.
We just made it work, but we did cut some outside activities because they were not, well, they weren't serving the family anymore.
Yes, I think you become a lot more choosy about what time you're willing to give to things. Having to compress all of your time, you know, all of your activities and segment them, doing work, doing homeschooling, whatever, it makes you realize that some activities are really worth the time you give to them and others just weren't.
Right. And I think it was during that time that one of the children started taking an outside class. It was online, but it freed up time for me to do something else. And it was an excellent class. I was so excited. I actually wasn't online, but it was something we purchased and downloaded, and she worked through.
Oh, sure. A computer, of course.
Right. It's computer-based.
Mm-hmm.
It's wonderful. And then another following year, we moved, and so then we were closer to where there was a co-op. And we were able to participate in that co-op because it was just one morning a week. And
mm-hmm.
she was able to take some other classes there, which, again, gave me time to do something else at home. Because some of her schoolwork could be, like, it was art.
Right,
so,
right.
So she was still working on things at home. But just utilizing the things in the community that are available. If you have a one-day academy type thing, I know a lot of working parents work while their children are at Awana or at a co-op.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a friend doing that right now. She works as a bookkeeper, so she does that work while her children are taking classes.
I'm glad you brought that up because we neglected to mention that earlier when we talked about curriculum. And I actually should have thought about it because I ran a homeschool enrichment academy for a number of years, and you worked at that same academy. So, yes, there are other options for homeschool parents. You, depending on the state in which you live, you can give someone else the responsibility of doing some of your child's schooling. Here in Texas, that's perfectly legal. You can have someone else take on some of those duties. So when you decide to work and have your child home for school, that doesn't mean that you have to be the only teacher. And so that also can be a great weight off the shoulders of a busy homeschool parent. The kids that came to our enrichment academy, ours was a full day. So every Monday the kids came, and I would say probably 75% of the parents, when they dropped their children off, were rushing home to get a lot of the work done that they need to do as work-from-home parents. And they worked in a great variety of professions. We had people who were sign language interpreters, and we had people who were house flippers, and people who, I don't know, just all kinds of different professions. But they would drop their kids off and they would say, see you at 3:30 or whatever time. I think maybe we closed at 4. But yeah, so they dropped the kids off at 9, they picked them up at 4, and they had all those hours. If there's not an enrichment academy where you live, or maybe your funds don't allow that, you might be able to find another homeschool parent who is also a working homeschool parent, and maybe you can trade off. But again, there's lots of ways to get that done. If grandma and grandpa are supportive of homeschooling, maybe they can take little Johnny one morning a week for you so you can get some of your intensive projects done, and they can teach Johnny woodworking, or grandma can teach him to crochet, or whatever the kinds of things are that they can bring to the table. There's lots and lots of ways to make this work. So I think that if you're thinking of working in homeschooling, you should really be encouraged that you can do it. It does take a little legwork, and right now we're heading towards summer, so it's a great time to start getting all your ducks in a row, looking online at curriculum, talking to folks who are doing it themselves, getting your schedule set up, getting your homeschool space set up, if you have a special space where you want to do that. But you can do it, and we've done it, and we know it can be done. Well, typically at this part of our show, we talk, we take some questions, and we have a couple questions today that really go well with what we've been talking about. And the first question is, how do you grade, from Rosianna?
How do you grade? Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you, when the children were in elementary school, we didn't really use grades because we were more concerned with grasping concepts, mastery. And so I know when I was in elementary school, I think you got excellent or satisfactory or unsatisfactory.
The big U on your paper. Oh, that always stabbed me in the heart when I got a U.
So when we would work through things, we would just work on them until we got them. Mm-hmm. And so we didn't really grade in elementary school. I mean, we did, and the math things were right or wrong, and we would work through it until we got it together. But in junior high, we did start using grades as preparation for high school, because in high school, those grades go on the transcript, and they're going to matter, and we began to work on that. And math was easy to grade, because that's a percentage.
And it's definitely right or wrong. Math is easy.
Right. Math is easy to grade. Some of those other things are a little bit tougher, but we would use some, like, checkpoints for written papers and things, to like a rubric to know if you hit all the marks, and to understand how to polish a piece to get it to a high quality. And since that was always our focus, you know, you did it and then you do it again and do it again till you got it up to an A.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we did with grades. Not really grading in elementary school, beginning grades in junior high, and then really paying attention in high school. What'd you do?
Well, the same thing. Elementary school, I feel like it's just harsh to give them an A or B. So my little guy is 7.5. He's wrapping up first grade. And he has a math test every week. And you know, he takes his test, and I look at it, and if there's something wrong, I'll say to him, I think you might want to take a look at this one again. And he'll say, oh, yeah, that was wrong. Let me fix that. And then, you know, when he's done, he has check marks next to everything.
I never put an X. I think that's really demoralizing.
We got check marks.
And
everything is always an opportunity to learn more. And most of the time it's like, oh, we need to work on this some more.
Right.
Because you don't want them to be afraid of making mistakes. That's how we learn.
Exactly.
That's evidence that we're learning.
Well, from public school, like I said, if I got a U, I was devastated.
Oh, big red X on
there. Yeah, so...
So I didn't want to replicate that experience for my kids. And just like you, we waited until junior high to start grading. And in high school, we also started taking tests. We had not taken very many tests at all to that point. But knowing that they were going to have to start taking standardized tests like the SAT or the ACT, I got some curriculum that had tests where they had to fill in bubbles. And I think that was one of the history courses that we used. Had a little test and you filled in bubbles. I think it was Streams of Civilization, actually. And I thought, oh, that's a great way to start getting prepared to take tests and be graded on tests and have time limits and things like that. I started incorporating that in high school. And so a lot of your curriculum will already have that built in. And then some people are curious, like, how do you get a percentage and how do you do an average? And those kinds of things you can look up online. So we have another question, and that is from Jonathan. And Jonathan's question is, how do I know my child is ready to read?
Well, that's a good question.
I think so, too.
I think a lot, well, that goes to all of the readiness signs that we know to look for if they're asking questions about what did this say. And, of course, at that time, you start teaching them the names of the letters and the sounds of the letters. I know there's some debate about whether or not they need to know the name of the letter or not, and which one should come first. But in my house, it happens simultaneously. Mm. And they start, when they start trying to sound things out, I think you know they're ready to read. But there are also some things about, long time ago, I was a kindergarten teacher, and one of the things we watched for was whether or not a child could tie their shoes. Because tying your shoes is a really intricate pattern of, you know, loops here and your hands are doing two different things, mm-hmm. and all of that. If a child could tie their shoes, they were ready to learn how to read. But now everybody has Velcro shoes. So I think that's fallen by the wayside.
Right.
But you do look for some eye-hand coordination and just some signs that they're able to grasp those ideas.
Mm-hmm.
But again, like you learn those sounds, but blending them together into words is a function of brain development. You can't make them learn how, and they may stay in that sounding out one letter at a time for kind of a long time.
Right.
You can't rush it. You just keep working on it and reading to them so that you keep cultivating that desire to want to read it on their own.
Yes. Yes.
You know, like, my kids always were so excited when they could say, I can read H-E-B. We're like, yes. That's what our local grocery store is like. Yes,
right.
Yes, you can. But they couldn't really sound that out. But then they start wanting to read signs.
Yes. When they start, Liam is putting these little pieces together, and we're practicing, two consonant blends, and he's really getting it. And the other day he was looking for something on the TV. So, of course, modern kids, he's trying to do a search. And he sees, he's like, Mom, can you help me find this thing? I say, sure. And I'm typing in the letters, and he sees the word space on the bottom of the screen. And he says, does C sometimes say suh? And we hadn't gotten to that yet. And I said, yes, when it's followed by an E or an I or a Y, it can say, so. Where do you see that? And he says, space. I'm like, yes, you're getting it. And I can write him notes now. So when I started teaching him to read, we started with the sounds. We didn't start with the names of the letters. We started with the sounds. And we didn't do the letters in order. When my husband found that out, he was really upset. And I said, it is not important that we're learning the letters that we are going to see most often, so we can start reading sooner. And Liam is actually doing well. I can leave him notes, and he can read little notes now. And also, we've noticed he can read things we might not want him to read.
Exactly. I'll never forget a bus ride. We decided to take the bus and go to the library, and my son was reading some T-shirts on it.
Oh, no.
Like, oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, in Austin. Oh, you never know what you might see on a T-shirt, for sure. So typically when they are ready to read, they're going to give you clues. Well, I love answering questions. And if you have questions, you can email us at beyondtranscripts@transcriptmaker.com. And we'll be happy to answer your questions. Well, we hope that you feel more ready to tackle working and homeschooling after listening to our episode today. And we thank you for joining us. I'm Holly.
And I'm Melody.
Happy homeschooling.
Hi, this is your host, Holly Williams-Urbach. Thank you for listening to Beyond Transcripts, a Transcript Maker production. My co-host is Melody Gillum. This episode was produced by Matthew Bass and edited by Nora Williams. Our music is by the great Pangolin. You can find her music on YouTube and Twitter at Kylie Wins. That's K-A-I-L-E-Y Wins.